It is wonderful to see our young people following the Lord in obedience. And after watching that, it just felt like we could go home right then, because God had preached a sermon through the lives of our young people. But we're not. I know. You were hoping, weren't you, John? This morning we do want to continue our series on building godly character and slaying the giant of self-centeredness and the quest for godly character. Is it something that we strive for our entire lives? It's the process of sanctification where we become more and more like Christ throughout our lives. And last week we were exploring a new path, the path from greed to generosity. And the thing about generosity is we don't just wake up one day and change our whole mindset to become the most generous people in the world. There's a process, and there's a variety of godly character traits that are necessary, or that are part of the process of God building into us the kind of people that hold our stuff with loose hands, that hold our stuff and our money with open hands to be used by Him for His purposes. Sometimes having a four-year-old, you get a lot of four-year-old stories, don't you? Sometimes having a four-year-old, one of your goals is to teach them what they should say in certain circumstances, right? And you just never know what they're going to say, unfortunately. And you try to coach them, and you try to lead them along. And so, for instance, when someone gives something to Mark, we try to say, okay, what do you say? And our goal is, thank you. And that's not always where he goes with it. But usually that's where he goes with it. Sometimes, because we do the same thing for please. And so sometimes someone will give him something and it will say, what do you say? And he goes, please? And I'm like, no. Okay, we're using the other one. One pastor was visiting some of his parishioners and he took his young daughter with him, also about four. And as they visited an elderly couple, the elderly man gave the daughter a handful of peanuts. And expecting her to show a spirit of gratitude, the father asked his daughter, honey, what are you supposed to say? And sincerely, she looked at the man and said, you got any more? And it exposes sort of where our heart is sometimes. Kids have a way of saying what, quite frankly, we all feel sometimes. Where we all are at. And there are times that we receive blessings and we receive things. And instead of our first thought being, thank you, it's, you got any more? Or maybe it's, I should have had more. You didn't give me enough. And sometimes we think we've gotten the raw end of the deal, and sometimes we think that God hasn't blessed us enough, or we've been treated unfairly. And all of those things are not godly characteristics, because God wants an attitude of gratitude in our hearts. And as we look at our sequence, and as we get to the path that we're on from greed to generosity, we're getting there. We go from greed, and the next step is an attitude of gratitude. Can we learn to be grateful for what we have? Can we learn to be thankful? And this is a topic that we've talked about before. And as I was preparing, I realized that in Philippians, we talked a lot about gratitude. And last Thanksgiving, we talked about moving from complaintsgiving to thanksgiving. And the year before, as we looked at some of the spiritual disciplines, we looked at the discipline of thankfulness. And as we look through Scripture, though, we see this idea of being grateful, of being thankful over and over and over again. And so this is one of those topics that we can't just hit once and say we're good for 10 years. Because we need to be reminded over and over, am I being grateful? Do I have an attitude that is just filled with thankfulness for God Almighty and for what He's done? Even if I don't see what He's doing. Even if I don't understand, even if I don't agree with it, even if I don't think it's good, can I be grateful? Can I learn to be thankful? Or will I have an attitude that says, you got any more? Which is greed, which is what we talked about last week. In Colossians 3:15 and 16, some of our key verses this morning, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. And as God is giving instructions to the church, part of His instructions are be thankful. And as you talk with each other, let an attitude of gratitude, and we're going to use the rhyming thing this morning. Do you have an attitude of gratitude that just infiltrates everything you say? As you talk with someone, do they come away and say, wow, that is a grateful person to God? Or do they come away and say, oh, that person has some issues. They have some things they're upset about. They have some complaints. What impression do we give people? And that's what he's talking about in Colossians 3:16, because he's talking about interacting as a body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. As we work on gratitude, it begins to change the attitude of greed. It begins to transform it into something that God can use instead of saying, I don't have enough. It's about being grateful to God that I have more than I deserve. More than I deserve. When we think of gratitude, as we've gone through this series, we've looked at definitions of each of the character qualities that God is working to build in our hearts. And gratitude is a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation. A feeling of thankfulness and appreciation, often for blessings or what we have. A feeling of thankfulness and appreciation, often for blessings that we've received or what we have. Over and over in God's Word, we're exhorted, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, and worship. They read several of the verses out of many in Psalms that say, give thanks. And what we see with this attitude is this isn't just like the cherry on a sundae. It isn't just an extra godly characteristic, but this is the foundation. This is the ice cream in a sundae. This is, without gratitude, without thanksgiving, we cannot pursue other godly characteristics because our heart isn't right. A feeling of thankfulness and appreciation for what has been received or what we have. See, gratitude flies in the face of pride. It flies in the face of greed because it says, I am thankful to God for giving me what I have. Did you catch what it doesn't say? I worked really hard to have what I have. I have lived life in a way that I deserve this or I need this. It misses all those because gratitude turns the glory to God. And in acknowledging that we are thankful to God, we are acknowledging that it comes from God. And that's starting to deal with the heart. And that deals with the greed issue. It deals with the pride issue. It deals with a number of self-centered issues. Because we do struggle with being ungratefulness. And some of the reasons for that can be pride, a self-sufficiency, and an independence. We don't like to think we are thankful or indebted to anyone for what we have. Pulled myself up by my bootstraps. The American way. It's all about me and what I've accomplished. And to say thank you to someone, or especially to say thank you to God, means I didn't get there on my own. I had help. And pride keeps us from being grateful. Sometimes just living in an affluent society, and we all live in an affluent society. Sometimes just that, it generates this sense of entitlement where I don't have to be grateful for something because I deserved it. And we think of thankfulness in terms of something that we didn't deserve, something extra. But this morning, as we look at gratitude, it's about everything we have, whether we think we deserved it or not. It's about coming to God and acknowledging His place in every one of those things. Sometimes we're ungrateful simply because we're not in the habit of saying thank you. Thank you is a learned thing. Gratitude is a learned thing. And sometimes we're just not in the habit of it, and maybe we're in the habit of complaining. Sometimes we're ungrateful because life has really hit us hard. And we look at life and say, you know what? I'm just a little angry right now. I'm a little hurt. Things are going on I don't understand. especially with our economy the way it is, with jobs lost, with opportunities lost. It is so easy to become embittered, and we lose a sense of gratitude that God desperately wants in us, no matter what our position, no matter what our place. But this morning, it's not about what makes us ungrateful. That was sort of last week on greed. This morning is, how can we be grateful? How can we be truly grateful? Because it's not just saying a simple thank you. I mean, we've all probably written thank you notes that we were forced to. And you know, you're like, okay, got to find something to be thankful in this because it's the right thing to do. And it is the right thing to do, and we should. But true gratitude goes much deeper than that. It's a heart that truly is grateful and thankful for what has been received. So this morning we're going to look at six characteristics of true gratitude. Of true gratitude. On each of these characteristics, we've also tried to tie them to a trait of God and to a character trait of who God is. And some of them are directly tied to who God is. And some of these character qualities He wants to build in us are a response to who God is. Still tied to who He is, but it's a response. And gratitude is one of those things that's a response. When we think of humility, that was a response to God's greatness, to His holiness, to His omnipotence and His omnipresence and all the omnis, because He is so huge and we are so small, and that was humility. It was a response. Gratitude is a response to God's goodness, a response to His provision. That God is good, that He provides, that He is sovereign. Without understanding those basic elements of who God is, it's very hard to have a spirit of gratitude. And so it does come back to the character of God. It's recognizing that we are totally dependent on Him and that everything we have comes from God. In Psalm 24:1, we read, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Gratitude honors God and His character, as we are dependent on Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. And if you'll indulge me this morning, we're going to go back to a Sunday school story that you probably heard when you were in third or fourth grade. A story that may be very familiar, but I'd like to look at it with fresh eyes this morning, as possibly in third or fourth grade we don't catch it all, and we don't apply it to current life. And so it's good to go back to some of these stories and reread them and restudy them with a mindset of, how can I apply it today? Not how can I teach this to Mark or to our kids, but how can I apply this today? Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it's the life of Christ, and He's traveling between... Sorry about that. My Bible's in my other hand. He's traveling between Israel and Samaria and possibly through the valley of Jezreel. And he's talking, he comes across some lepers. And leprosy was one of those things, and it could have meant a variety of different skin conditions, but we know from here that it was something that they were not supposed to get close to people. So it was something that was contagious, something that they were unclean. And so from a distance, these 10 lepers call out to Christ. And so we pick up the story in verse 11. "Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Now they're not looking for tears, or they're not looking for just simple sorrow for them. They've undoubtedly heard the reputation of Christ. They've heard who He is. And so by saying, "Have pity on us," they are asking for a healing here. They are asking for God to do something in their lives that would radically transform them, as they are outcasts of society. Not allowed to be around people. Not allowed to be around family. The only people they're allowed to be around are other people with leprosy. Great. And so you're watching people die, and you're watching people suffer. And so they call out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He being Jesus, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." and as they went, they were cleansed. When someone was healed of leprosy, or when someone got over leprosy, before they were pronounced clean again, they had to go show themselves to a priest and be pronounced clean before they could enter society again and before they could enter culture. And notice the order here. Jesus says, go. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And so we're dealing with people that initially obeyed Christ because they started to go. And they started to go and do what he said, and they were cleansed and they were healed from this awful disease. Their lives were changed forever. At this point, though, they were not saved. It was not a saving faith. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And you have to understand a little bit of the culture and what's going on here. The Jews abhorred Samaritans. Samaritans were only part Jewish. And so the Jews were pure Jewish and completely Jewish. And so they looked down on the Samaritans. They were the scum of the earth, I guess we'd say nowadays. And that was the view that was happening here. And you have nine that are from Israel here, and nine that were Jews, and you have one Samaritan, and Jesus heals them all, and only one comes back. And it was the Samaritan. As Jesus is telling this story, as Luke here is telling this story to the Jews, they would read that, and that would just annoy them like you wouldn't believe. But one came back, and it was the Samaritan. And just as a side note, isn't it often the case that when we are the neediest, that when we are the poorest, that it's the easiest to be grateful? And that's what we see here. We see the one that is even more of an outcast that comes back and is grateful because he knows what it's like to not have. You take two kids and one that has nothing, and one that has every toy imaginable, and you give them both a wagon. And just see which one's more grateful. And it's the one that doesn't have anything because their mindset is to appreciate it and fully enjoy it. And the other one's like, oh, it's just another toy. And we're challenged to ask, where are we? Have we enjoyed so many blessings from God that we've stopped being grateful for them? That's a challenge that I think we all face. So this one man comes back, and it's the Samaritans, and Jesus talks to him, and Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? He knows the answer. He's just a rhetorical question, prying a little bit. Were not all 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he, being Christ, said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And there's a shift here because he's already cleansed from leprosy. He's already healed physically. And God here, because of this man's gratitude, which represents faith, because of that faith, this man is now saved. This man is now healed on the inside. The stain of sin is healed, not just the stain of leprosy. And so we have a story of the 10 lepers that undoubtedly you've heard, and we can picture it in our heads, and we've probably acted it out in Sunday school. But there's a few points as we look at these 6 elements of true gratitude that we want to pull out of this and other passages. The first is that true gratitude is a response. True gratitude is a response, and it's a response of worship. And it pleases God. See, so many times, like I said, we see gratitude as this extra thing, as it's just something added on top. But to have gratitude, to be thankful, is an act of worship. It is a response to what God does. This is not something that is extra to God. This is vital to God. Did you catch what happened with the Samaritan that came back? He comes back to Christ in verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, and what did he do? He praised God, an act of worship, in a loud voice. But then in verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And so he prostrated himself in an act of worship, bowed down before him in pure gratitude. And that gratitude got his heart right and his attitude right. And it was an act of worship to our Lord and Savior. When we start to see it as an act of worship, and when we start to see it as something that pleases God, it elevates the importance now of gratitude in our lives. This isn't just an extra thing that we do. But this has to do with a heart that is sold out to God. I love reading through the Old Testament and some of the Levitical law and some of how God set things up, because thanksgiving and gratitude was built into God's plan. Let me read a couple verses. In Leviticus 22:29, when you sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. And he's talking about the offerings that were given in worship. And one of the offerings of worship that they were instructed to give was a thank offering. And this was actually a burnt offering that they had to bring an animal and sacrifice it and burn it. And we have sin offerings that we think of so many times. But have we ever realized that they did that just to be thankful to God too? And it was instructed. It was that important that they were to come and give a thank offering to God. And if their heart was right, it would be accepted. In Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, a verse that many of our youth better remember. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And we see thankfulness tied with worshiping Him acceptably with reverence and awe. If we come to worship complaining and with a spirit of complaining, we aren't worshiping. Because we aren't acknowledging that God is in control and we aren't acknowledging His goodness. Thankfulness is essential to worship. So essential that we see in the Old Testament that as the Levites were given their jobs and assigned to divisions, some of them were assigned just to make sure Thanksgiving happened. It would be like if we were adding staff here at Village and we said, you know what, our next pastor is going to be the pastor of Thanksgiving. He's just going to be the pastor that makes sure that we are being grateful to God and checking up on us. And that's what they did in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2. Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. It was one of the duties, one of their jobs. 1 Chronicles 16:4, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And there's many more that say the same thing. True gratitude is a response of worship. Not just a thank you note. No matter the circumstances, we are to worship our Lord. One of the amazing things is, as we worship with an attitude of gratitude, God is pleased. And the result is His presence. In 2 Chronicles, again, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 13, the trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. What were they doing? Giving praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices to praise to the Lord, in praise to the Lord, and saying, He is good, His love endures forever. And then we see the results. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. True gratitude of the heart is worship, and God loves it, and He shows up. If we're feeling distant from God, if we're wondering where God is, one of the things we need to begin to do is start to be grateful to Him for who He is, for His goodness, for His loving kindness, even if we don't understand it. An attitude of gratitude. Second element of true gratitude, and this is very similar to the first, but true gratitude is part of a healthy walk with God. It's part of a healthy walk with God. And again, I would argue, if we're struggling with gratitude, we are struggling with our walk with God. Because it's at the heart of how we relate to God. And it's at the heart of, do I think I'm in control or do I think God is in control? True gratitude is part of a healthy walk with God. We see that again in the passage. The one that came back, the one that bowed and prostrated himself before God in worship. God said, rise and go, in verse 19. Your faith has made you well. And so the heart that acknowledges the presence of God and acknowledges the greatness of God and the sovereignty of God is a heart that has faith in God. It's a heart that acknowledges the lordship of Christ. And so many times we are so good about going to God when there's trouble. And petitioning God and saying, oh God, I need your help right now. But do we forget when He does help to go back to Him in thanksgiving? A number of years back in the Apollo 13 program, many of you have watched the movie and or remember the events of that time. And we had astronauts that were in space and things were going wrong all over the place. And as a nation, there was this rising up that we need to pray for our astronauts. That we need to pray for their lives, for their safety, for their return to Earth. And through the course of events, praise God, things were worked out and they made it home safely. But there just wasn't a huge outcry after that. To say, now we need to thank God. Individuals did, but it wasn't this national outcry. Instead, do you remember what it was? It was a praise for the engineers that figured out how to work with this system and for the controllers that did this. And we praised man and gave God no credit. And so many times we do that in our lives, that we come to Him in need and we ask for His intervention. But then do we remember when we've gotten what we want to go back to Him? To fall on our knees. And to praise Him. See, not giving thanks is a sign of a hard heart. It's a sign of a hard heart towards God. It's a sin and it leads to further hardness. In Romans 1, 20 through 22, I encourage you to write down that reference and study that this week. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And catch verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. The simple thing of giving thanks and gratitude to God is listed in this verse as one of the grievous sins. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And we see an attitude here. It starts with small seeds of ungratefulness and an attitude that wasn't willing to praise God, that wasn't willing to thank God, to give Him credit for who He is, led to a heart that was hard. It led to futility of thinking. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. See, true gratitude is part of a healthy walk with God. If we don't learn to appreciate what God has done in our lives, if we don't learn to be grateful for that, our growth is stopped and we're in danger of a hard heart. Verse after verse lists thankfulness as just part of God's will for our lives. When people ask the question, I wish I knew God's will for me, one of the things on the short list is to be grateful, to be thankful. In Colossians 2, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And on and on and on. See, when we aren't grateful to God for what He's done, it is an affront to His glory. It is an affront to His glory because we are saying, you don't deserve credit. And that is a scary place to be. In India, there was a Raja with a gardener. And he knew the gardener was a thief. And the gardener would just steal little things here and there. And the Raja knew what was going on, and so just sort of ignored it and passed it by. And one day, though, the gardener knew that the family jewels were there and the crown jewels of the family. And he goes into the house and he steals the crown jewels. And he runs out and he gets in his car because he knows he's going to be caught, but this is the one that he's going to leave on because he finally made it. And he's driving his car out and the Raja's son crosses the driveway and he hits him and kills the Raja's son. He ends up getting caught and having to come before the Raja, and listening to the story, the Raja said, you know, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm going to let you keep working here. I forgive you, as his heart was breaking. Several months later, the gardener was in the kitchen and stole a little kitchen cup. And the Raja found out about it. And he brought him in again. And this time he ordered his execution, which he didn't do before, but had every right to. And the gardener was like, what's going on? As he makes his plea and his appeal, he said, I don't understand. I steal valuable jewels. I accidentally kill your son and I don't get executed. And now I steal a cup and I get executed? Or I'm going to get executed? And the Raja said, it's not about the cup. You're not being executed for stealing a cup. You're being executed for the sin of ingratitude. Because you didn't appreciate what happened before and change. As we walk with God, true gratitude is part of that walk. It is part of that healthy walk. For the leper that came back, it was the difference between eternal life or eternal death. The other nine were healed physically, but they were not healed spiritually. And they spent eternity in hell. But this one who came back with an attitude of gratitude was healed spiritually. True gratitude is part of a healthy walk with God. Third element of true gratitude is it doesn't forget. It makes being thankful a priority. Anyone ever forgot to send a thank you note? Had every intention to. Had it on your list of things to do, which is like this long. Maybe even had the card and you forgot to send it. I think we all do that. But it's an issue of priority, isn't it? It's an issue of importance. And true gratitude raises the priority and it doesn't forget. It makes it a priority. The nine didn't have time to come back. The nine were off because they had life to live. They could go to the priest and be pronounced clean and they could go see their family and get back to normal life. They didn't have time to come back to Jesus and say thank you. I'm sure he knew anyway. But the one made it a priority and didn't forget. Another story that I love is that in Daniel chapter 6. It's another Sunday school story of the lion's den. And we see Daniel, who throughout his life had been taken to Babylon, and God had blessed in different ways, and he ended up being over the wise men of the country, and they were embittered about that and frustrated with that. And in Daniel chapter 6, they come up with this ploy, with this plot to finally get to Daniel. We're going to finally take him down and get the thorn out of our side. And they knew that Daniel had a habit of praying every day, three times a day. And he would open his windows and he would pray to the Lord. And so they made a decree, and they went to the king and made this decree that if anyone worshipped or prayed to anyone other than the king, he'd be thrown in the lion's den. And they're like, this is going to do it. Daniel's taken care of. And Daniel heard about the decree. And turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. You can keep a finger in Luke 17. But Daniel chapter 6. And we're not going to go through the whole story, but I just want to look at Daniel's response in verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, okay, I'm thinking he goes home, maybe doesn't open his windows this time. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. And we skip over that verse, but did you notice what kind of prayer Daniel is committed to praying? A prayer giving thanks to God. It doesn't say he's praying that somehow he's not caught. He's giving thanks to God. And giving thanksgiving to God and gratitude to God was so important to him. It was such a priority that he said, I don't care what kind of decree is made. I'm going home. I'm opening my windows. I'm praying towards Jerusalem. I'm praying to God, and I'm thanking him for what he's done. That's putting a priority on thankfulness. It's putting your life on the line for thankfulness. And sure enough, the guys are outside because they know what he's going to do. He's a man of character. And they catch him and they throw him in the lion's den, and God protects him and saves him. And that's a story for another time. But true gratitude makes thanksgiving a priority. It was for the leper. It was for Daniel. The fourth element of gratitude and true gratitude is that it has to be practiced until it's a habit. It has to be practiced. We have to choose to practice it over and over. Daniel had a routine, didn't he? Three times a day. His routine was not going to be broken because he practiced an attitude of gratitude. And he opens his windows just like he did every day because it was part of everyday life. And our challenge as we think of gratitude is, how can we make it part of everyday life? How can we practice it? How can we make sure that we are worshiping God in this way, and it's that important? I gave you a little more space on your notes on this one because I just want to throw out a few ideas, few practical ideas. One is maybe end each day with a prayer of thanksgiving as a family. End each day with a prayer of thanksgiving. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as we say our prayers with Mark every night, and at 4, a lot of the prayer is just being thankful to God for things. God, thank you for this. God, thank you for this. But that's practicing gratitude. That's practicing thanksgiving. That's practicing a right spirit to God that says, you provide and I don't. You know, another way to practice it is to get in the habit of saying thank you. We need to be a people of thank you. And I'm talking just to each other, not only to God, but to each other. When someone does something for us, saying thank you, showing appreciation. Maybe at home, when mom makes a meal, saying thank you. Moms, would you like that? Lots of smiles. Just getting in the habit of saying thank you. I would love for us as a church to where whenever anything happens here that we are just in a habit of saying thank you to each other. As leaders here, part of our vocabulary should be the word thank you. Because without that, we're just assuming that people are going to do whatever and we're assuming things about leadership that are not godly. Just a simple thank you. In your worship folder today, we put some cards. We used these for encouragement cards, but we've changed them up a little bit. And I'd encourage us to put this into practice with a thank you card. With gratitude in your hearts towards God, part of the Colossians 3:16, because as we show gratitude to each other, we're showing gratitude to God. And in the next couple of weeks, I would encourage you that if someone somehow blesses you, or if you see someone serving here at Village, or if you see God doing something from someone that maybe wouldn't ordinarily receive a thank you, write them a little thank you note. You know, sometimes we think of thank you note as just for gifts. Graduations, weddings, showers, Christmas gifts. What if it was a thank you for one of the VBS workers that worked with your kids all week, who gave of their time to chase them down and keep them from running into Boaro? That's worth a thank you. What if it's just noticing someone that cleans something up here at Village, or someone that ministers in a way that maybe doesn't ordinarily receive a thank you? A little bit different from encouragement cards. That's a little broader category. But just specifically, can we become a people of gratitude that are willing to say thank you? I encourage you to do that this week. A couple of other ways that we put into practice this attitude of gratitude, some of which we've talked about before at Thanksgiving. In every situation, find something to be grateful for. Even the difficult situations, there's something. And along with that, don't drop into complaining. We've got to stop and put a hold on complaining. A couple of other ideas. Maybe keep a gratitude blog or journal, some way that we are expressing thankfulness to God. Maybe it's a prayer list and we chart answered prayers. Because one of the great ways to have gratitude is to go back and read those things, to remember what God has done. As God did with the children of Israel with stones all over the place, remember what I've done. Another way to practice gratitude is a way that we just aren't allowed to talk about in church, but that's tithing. Because tithing, the very act of tithing, is showing gratitude to God, because it's to come out of the first fruits of what we have. The tithing literally means a 10%, and it's the first fruits, and by any blessings we receive, to give the first share of that to God, that's an act that builds gratitude. Because it's not something that God needs. He has enough money. But it's something that God chooses to work in our hearts to say, I want you to be thankful to me for every blessing I give you. For every blessing I give you. And it's a way to practice gratitude. It's number four. We have two more in just a couple minutes. True gratitude, number five. True gratitude is loud. Some of you are like, what? You're already a little loud. No, true gratitude is loud. Back in Luke 17, did you catch how the man came back and praised God? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Maybe he just talked loud, but I doubt it. I think he was so overwhelmed with what God has done that he couldn't help but proclaim it, but shout it from the hilltops. God is good. Look what God has done. And that's what I mean by true gratitude is loud. The leper in a loud voice. Daniel with his windows open. There is a public element to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not entirely private. There's a public element to it that we miss in an individualistic society. Because as we publicly give thanks to God, what does it do for everyone else's faith? It increases everyone's. And as you listen to our three young people share their testimonies and share their hearts for God and their gratitude to God for what He's done in their lives, didn't it stir something? And it should, because that's what public gratitude does. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. 1 Corinthians 14, a passage that we often study when we're studying tongues and that there should be order in a service and order in church, comes to the issue of thanksgiving. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving? And the idea is if you're talking in a way or saying thanksgiving in a way that people don't understand, how can the rest of the body say amen? Goes on, since he does not know what you are saying. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Do you catch the public element? In our thanksgiving, we should be building each other up, edifying each other. What if in the gym today, as we go out and fellowship, the stories are all about what God has done? Are all about giving thanks to God. Do you think that would make a difference? It would be incredible. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of His wonderful acts. True gratitude is loud. Again, a great place to start is with your family. Number six, true gratitude enjoys what you have. And I'm straying away from the two stories on this one to other verses. But true gratitude enjoys what you have, not what you want. God has given you everything you need to enjoy Him right now. It's not dependent on getting anything else. It's just dependent on your attitude. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. In Ecclesiastes, over and over, we see instructions to enjoy what God has given you, because to do anything else with it is just foolishness, but to use it for Him and to enjoy it. As a parent, when you gave your kids a gift, what did you desperately want? To see them enjoy it. To see them have fun with it. To see them open it up and not throw it in the trash right away. But to enjoy it, and that brought joy. It does the same thing for God as He sees us enjoy His blessings. But the key is, whatever we have can be enjoyed no matter how little. We may be in the midst of terrible economic times. You may be wondering how to pay the bills this month. And God says, you can still be grateful to me for what I've given you. And you can still enjoy it because that shows that your heart is turned to me. It's the kid that gets the present at Christmas. And you open it all up and he spends more time playing with the box than the gift. Because he knows how to enjoy the simple things. Gratitude enjoys the simple things. Make a list of the blessings God has given. The mercies that He has given you. Even in the midst of a difficult time, make that list and enjoy what God has done. A child, when taken for ice cream, sometimes might cry when he sees the sprinkles because he wanted more. My challenge to you today is, do you want the ice cream or do you want the sprinkles? What are we more about? The extra, the things that we don't have that we think we want, or the blessings that God has given to us that is enough, that is more than we deserve. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks and we give you gratitude because you are the provider of all blessings. You are the provider of all things, and Lord, we depend on you. And Lord, attack the greed in our hearts and replace it with gratitude that acknowledges your sovereignty, that acknowledges your goodness. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are willing to give thanks to you and thanks to each other. In your precious name, amen.